Roman numeral number 4 will speak about the call and the mandate of the church. And for us to really see, we'd like to have a very brief Old Testament survey up to the New Testament survey class here. Ako po, hindi ako pwede magturo ng survey. Yung New Testament survey, Old Testament survey. Kasi, alam niya, mga mi-edad, makwento na yan eh. No? As may, you may have noticed. Kasi, ang mga kwento namin ay ano na, mga 50 years ago. So, pero ito, I will not go back to 50 years ago. We'll go back to thousands of years ago. No? So we have here the Garden of Eden, as we all know. Then there was a fall. And God said before that, what is very popular, at alam po natin lahat ito, Genesis 1:26-28, let us make man in our image, etc., etc. Now this is called, alternately, these are the popular names of that. We have the dominion. This is the dominion mandate. This is the creation mandate. Or this is also called the cultural mandate. Okay. And then at Genesis chapter 3, bumagsak si Adam, bumagsak si Eve, and God promised what is called in theology as the Proto-Evangelion. Proto-Evangelion, in English, it's the first gospel. So, yung bumagsak, nagkasala sila, right away, merong promise of redemption. Okay. And then, the Lord began that process and the nations were created. And out of that, the Lord called Abraham to start the nation of Israel. And we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay. So from here to here, Genesis, to, no? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 up to chapter, no? Kaya, you know, those of you who are, how many of you have taught Old Testament? If you have taught Old Testament, almost always, as sure as the sun rises in the morning every day, merong magtatanong ng saan kinuha ni Cain yung kanyang asawa. Oh. So, paano niyo sasagot? Of course, masasagot po natin dyan, no? Pero, you know, every semester na lang tinatanaw ko na ganoon. So, until I came up with something na parang wala na magtanong. Kasi mabubor ka din. Oh, kaya sabi ko, kapatid, kung gusto mo maging pastor, huwag mong pakialaman ang mga asawa ng iba. wala na nagtanong. pero bago nyo sagutin lang ganun, sagutin nyo muna biblically, no? Baka sabihin nila na hindi mo lang alam. Okay. So, why Israel? There are so many things, but according to our discussion ngayon, it is because it was through the race, it was through the nation of Israel that the Messiah will be born. Now, if you have this perspective, then you can interpret in a very, as a good hermeneutics guy, all the happenings na dinaanan ng Israel. All the happenings na dinaanan ni Isaac at saka ni Jacob. That famine in Egypt, Canaan, why Joseph was sent years before the famine broke out. It was not just for, you know, deliverance of a whole nation, but it is because there was a goal that God was trying to pursue and to take hold of. It was a deliverance of a nation, because if Canaan was wiped out by the famine during that time, then wipe out na si Jacob. And so there will be no more that would bring forth the Messiah. Kasi thread dito eh, no? This is what we call salvation thread or redemption thread or whatever, no? Oh, kasi wala pang Facebook noong araw. So ito yung mga thread lang. Oh. Israel was to bring forth that Messiah. And if we are, if we understand God's purpose, then we will be very excited about it. Kaya nga, dito ko rin naintindihan, yung nung bata kasi ako na sa Panginoon, no, hindi ko maintindihan bakit the Lord will command His people, when you go into Canaan, wipe out everything, annihilate everybody, kill everybody, pati infants, pati mga animals, kill everybody. Eh sabi ko, Lord, ano ba naman? Kasi binabasa ko po yung Old Testament noon, doon sa the Living Bible. You remember the Living Bible? Oh, kasi hindi ko maintindihan sa ano eh, sa King James eh. King James kasi during our time, that was 1973, libre kasi. You know? So, King James. Oh, pero, ang bigat, di ba? Ang bigat. Sino gumagamit po ng King James? So, ang bigat. Oh, Abraham bigat Isaac. Isaac bigat bigat Jacob. Jacob. Ang bigat. Di mo maintindihan. Oh. So, sabi ko, Lord, ba't mo pinagpapatay lahat ito? Wala namang kasalanan itong mga bata na ito. These are small kids, innocent kids. Then I began to realize as I mature in my faith, then I went to Bible school, I went to the seminary, then naintindihan ko, nothing, absolutely nothing can stand in the way for that purpose to be fulfilled. The Messiah has to be born because mankind has to be redeemed and the church has to be established. So, so Israel, and of course we know that Israel was also called to be a model. The Lord said, you will be a nation that nations, when they see you, they will see and they will realize that there is one true living God. Tatlo yan, one true living God. It's a theme in the Old Testament. When they see you, when they see how you live, when they see this and that, etc., they will see and they will know and they will bow down to the one true living God. That's why, pati po yung mga pagkain, lahat, everything that is about the lives of the Israelites, pinakialaman ng Panginoon. Because He wanted them to truly be that witness, that testimony to the nations around them, pagan nations. Mga ano yun, mga mamatay tao, mga immoral, mga ano, perverts, etc., you know. But you will be a witness to them. Kaya nga, lahat, mga pagkain, pati po yung mga regulasyon about, halimbawa, yung kalabaw mo o yung baka mo ay pumunta sa kabilang bakod, kumain ng mga mani, kumain ng mais, no? Naruroon. Merong mga rules na ganyan, no? Oo. Kaya nga, nung araw, pag mayroong mga hindi nakakatulog sa gabi, oh, sabi niya, magpapapray. Hindi na kita ipapagpray. Basahin mo na lamang yung Leviticus. Pagka hindi ka pa nakatulog in 5 minutes, you have a hopeless case of insomnia. puro mga batas, puro mga ano, puro mga offerings, mga dugo, yun. Oh, in 5 minutes, siyempre matutulog ka. Kung hindi ka makatulog, talagang ano ka na, hopeless ka na. So, that's why God wanted them to truly be representative of Him who owns the universe and who created the world. Okay. And so the Lord Jesus Christ came and the Apostle Paul calls Him the last Adam. The Lord Jesus Christ came and he stayed for how many years? Depende yan kung sino commentator ang binabasa ninyo, no? If you are reading how many of the Gospels, he stayed for 4 years public ministry. But normally, like Robertson, like this, yung makakapal na libro, The Life and Times of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hindi ko masyadong binabasa kasi ano yan, hindi mo alam kung Reformed yan o Amil o whatever. You know? Pero it's 3.5 years, at least to be very, very safe about it. No? 3.5 years. And then, of course, we all know he left a command which we popularly call the Great Commission. Okay? Go and make disciples of all nations. Now, then he established the church, and then the church was established. We will look at that later on. However, much of the literature about the church is focused on this, the Great Commission. Rarely we find a tracing back to the basic, which is the foundation. Let us make man in our image. Basahin nga natin sa, how many of you are using the 2011 na NIV? Of course, alam ko, marami kayong ASV, no? Oh. Marami palang heretics dito, no? I'm still the chairman of Biblica, Philippines. So, we published this. So, I have to be loyal. Tsaka binigyan ako ng libre. So, okay. Verse 26, so God created mankind in his own image, in the image of God he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth. Everybody say, fill the earth. And subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves around the ground. I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit which is in it, they will be yours for food. And all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the sky, all the creatures, everything that has breathed, I give you every green plant for food. Dito po nagsimula yung tinatawag na Genesis diet. No? Pero ang ating focus is verse 26 up to 28. Over all the earth, if you are using a New King James, all the earth, fill the earth, all the earth. And this is what is called, which I call, the first commission. Ito'y pinakauna. Why? This happened, or this was given before sin came into the picture. Follow me now. If there was no sin that came in the garden, of course, two things could have happened. Number one, Adam and Eve were Chinese. You know the story, no? Oh. Kasi pagka Chinese sila, niluto na yun. Niluto yung ano, no? Alam mo na mga Chinese, sabi nung araw, no? They can do that because they are very experts, great culinary experts. Oh. Pangalawa, this is my personal doctrine. Yung mangga, yung forbidden fruit, mangga yun. Sambales. Why? Sabi ng mga Western theologians, it could be an apple. How can it be an apple? How can you be tempted with an apple? Makikita mo yung mansanas, kahit na Washington apple yun, wala, hindi kayo matitip. Makita mo yung manibalang, una dito, bagoong. So, na-tempt ka na. So, doon na-tempt si Eve. Sa atin latin lang yun. Okay. If, seryoso na po ito. If there was no sin, there would be no Great Commission. Amen? So, if there was no sin, what was left was the only one that was given by God for man to do. This was God's purpose for man. Genesis 1:26-28. And maybe you've heard me say this last time when we were doing the repair work on 412, leadership 412, that if you look at it, the Bible has only 4 chapters out of the 66 books and thousands of pages, etc. There are only 2 in the Old Testament and 2 in the New Testament, 2 chapters each, that are not tainted with sin. Lahat may bahid na yan ng kasalanan yan. Mula sa chapter 3 up to Revelation chapter 20, may bahid na ng kasalanan yan. But 21 to 22, nasa langit na tayo, and then bumaba na ang new heaven and new earth, nasa New Jerusalem, balik na yung tree of life doon sa atin. In between, bahid na ng kasalanan yan. And so, if there was no sin, wala ito. Wala ito. Are you there? There would be no need for a great commission. Because there will be no need for soteriology. Ibig sabihin, wala na tayong trabaho. Wala na akong trabaho, no? Wala na akong ituturong theology. Wala nang hamartiology, no? Doctrine of sin. Wala na tayong soteriology, doctrine of salvation. Kasi, wala. Walang kasalanan eh. Hello? So, you ask the question, what could have happened in the world if Adam and Eve were faithful to the covenant? If they did not commit treason. Diba? But of course, nangyari na eh. Oh, nangyari na eh. So, para bagang commentator ka sa ABCB na ano kaya nangyari kung nagsama si Duterte at si Grace po? No, wala na yun, no? Oh. Water under the bridge. However, let us go to the mandate of the Lord. Now, the mandate of the Lord is to go and make disciples of all nations. But the way I have observed it, ever since I understood this truth, I parang, ano, I will use the word truncated, no? T-R-U-N-C-A-T-E-D, no? Truncated. Parang kulang. Parang the church is only on one leg. What I call the evangelistic leg. But we have a first leg to take care of. The dominion mandate leg, or creation leg, or cultural mandate leg. Now, why do I say this? Because I believe that when we go and make disciples of all nations, no? If nandito si Pastor Jonas Cusar, ethnos, ganyan, no? Sa missions, oh. After making disciples, what? The Bible tells us, go and make disciples. A disciple is somebody who is a follower, who obeys the Lord. Therefore, when the Lord says, when the Lord said, go and make disciples of all nations, He is actually, in effect, as far as I believe, as far as I know and I believe, He is actually saying, go and make all nations bow down to me, follow me, and obey me. Why is that important? Now you notice, dito, all the earth have dominion. Fill the earth, all the earth. New King James. Dito, all nations. All nations. All the earth, all nations. Now, pag dugtungin natin yan, the end result of our discipleship should not just be a private thing. Should not just be, well, you know, we are now disciples, and though we make disciples, etc. And of course, we need to do that. However, we go beyond. Because this is, I believe, what the Word is saying to us. The church is God's vessel. The church is God's agent. The church is empowered by the Holy Spirit so that we can be transformed into that image na nasira po dito. It was not totally destroyed, but nasira po dito. And it is now being restored because we have the Holy Spirit. Those of you who were not here last week, I was saying that the Holy Spirit who now resides in every believer is no longer the Holy Spirit representing the historical Jesus, but it is the Holy Spirit representing Jesus, the unlimited Jesus, who now sits at the right hand of the Father. The historical Jesus was limited by time and space. He was limited by his physical condition, even by his emotions. He became hungry and angry. But the Holy Spirit, representing the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, who is now residing in us, is unlimited. It's not beyond limits, it is, he has no limits. He has no limits, and he now resides in us. He now lives in us. Amen. And his primary work is to transform us from glory to glory until we become the likeness of Jesus again. Until we become the likeness of God that he created here. How do we know what image is that? We look at Jesus. Colossians chapter 1 tells us he is the image of the invisible God. So how do we know? Ano ba yung image of God? We just look at Jesus and we see the image of the invisible God. So what I'm saying is this, mga kapatid. It is only as we have that image being reconstructed, being restored in us, that we can fulfill the original commission of the Lord. And the church is doing that. Amen. The church is doing that. And so our discipleship has a bigger factor. Our discipleship has a deeper pursuit. It has a bigger goal. It is to fulfill God's original purpose for you and for me. Amen. Which is dominion, establishes dominion over all this earth, establishes rulership over all this earth. Amen. Noong po 1987, I think I was the first one who was giving seminars on establishing the lordship of Jesus, establishing the rulership of God in all areas of our lives. Kaya po na kami nagkakilala ni na Pastor Steve, sina Pastor Manny, because, you know, we were preaching the same message. The Bible speaks to all areas of life, not just evangelism, not just worship, not just church growth, but the Bible speaks to all areas of life. It speaks to government, speaks to politics, speaks to media, to entertainment, speaks to law, to the military, all areas, business, family, all areas of life. Ngayon po, tinatawag ngayon yan na seven mountains. No? How many of you heard of the seven mountains? No? Lance will know. Oh, seven mountains. Yung mga iba, valley lang. Oh, walang mountain. But it is the truth that we see in the Word of God. Sabi ni Lord, Genesis chapter 1, verse 6, lahat, all, everything on earth will come under my rulership. And that is the beginning point, is we come to the Lord, we disciple, and then we equip them so that they will be able to fulfill the first mandate of the Lord. That is the call of the church. The call of the church is for this. Through the Great Commission. Kaya po, the Great Commission is not the end by itself. It is this. Amen? Because it is through the church that we supply people in government, righteous people. Yung mga iba, lasinggo dati, na born again, nag-disciple na. Mga iba, nagmumura dati. Ngayon, kunti na lang. But that is at the end of it. That is at the end of the endeavor. That is at the end of the project. It is this one. Amen. And the church wins, disciples, baptizes, teaches, so that we can supply the righteous men and women for all those mountains that Lance Wallno is speaking about, for all those realms of society, for all those spheres of life that are in our society. Amen. Righteous men as fathers, righteous women as mothers, righteous politicians who will not be corrupted, righteous this, righteous that. And that is the end goal of our discipleship. That is the end goal of the Great Commission, that we go back for this. Amen. Okay. Pastor, ano, 11 minutes pa? 20 pa, okay. Haba pa pala, no? If you have some questions, please don't ask. Dahil, ibig sabihin, mamaya na. Okay. I'm trying to finish this. Sabi ba kasi ni Joshua sa akin, eh, Papa, gamitin mo yung ano, manual. Gamitin mo yung handouts mo. So, ginagamit ko ngayon. Kaya... Malapit-lapit na. Nasa number page 3 na ako, ano? The nature of the church. These are reviews. Founded in Christ Jesus, I am building my church. Matthew 16, 17 to 18. Kailan ba kayo nag-preach? May series kayo dito, di ba? Oo, dito sa ano? Sa... No. Sa ano, yung I'm building my church. Matthew 16. Oh, alam ko yan dahil ano yan eh, nung I was abroad and I wrote a blog. If Peter was in my theology class, his answer would be, you know, pag tinanong ni Jesus, who do you think people say I am? Oh, ang sagot ni Peter, you're the ground of my being, my epistemological, something like that. Oh. So, I think 1 year ago or 2 years ago, when you did a series on this, the church. Okay, founded on Jesus Christ. I am building my church. He's the founder. He's the head, how well we know, of the church and of the body of Christ. Now, let's just go through this very briefly sapagkat alam na po natin lahat ito. But masarap kasi itong pakinggan ulit eh. No? Himay-himay lang natin ito ng konti. I tell you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome. Now, kami po ng mga Pentecostal, ay classic Pentecostals, ay alam po namin ito, no? Sapagkat ito yung power. Itong power, apo. Kaya nga, the church is power. Ado ti power. Ado ti pigsa. Sa Ilocano, pigsa. And there are at least three major views. When I say major views, because you will be surprised, a lot of churches believe in one of these. No? I don't know kung meron tayong stand dito, Pastor Winston, meron tayong stand dito? O, sino ba tong rock na to? No? O, the Catholic Church, of course, believe that Peter is the rock. He is the original Rocky. Rocky One. Sylvester Francis. Oh. And the evangelicals are divided into two camps. Number one, which is the classic Pentecostal also, that the rock is the Lord Jesus Christ, who, when we confess Him as our Lord, as our Savior, the Son of the living God, then we become part of the church. Of course, confession, meaning, you know, you receive Jesus by faith, etc. We go through the motions. And number three is the second camp of the evangelical side, which is, it's not Peter, it's not Jesus, it is the confession. What was the confession of Peter upon this rock? That is the confession, which is, no man has ever, no flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father is in heaven. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So when I asked kung anong baka meron tayong position, no, I might be transgressing the border. Wala naman, no? At 2 and 3. 2 and 3 tayo. Ano yung 2 and 3? The Lord Jesus and confession. Okay. You don't believe in Peter? Ay, mother-in-law. Kaya nagalit siya. No? Actually, hindi. Ako daw, ayaw talaga ng hindi nyo alam yung background doon. Ayaw i-heal ni Jesus. Manugang. Kasi dinenay niya eh. Jesus eh. No? So, gustong gumante. Diba? He denied Jesus 3 times. So. Marami kong heresy na sinasabi sa inyo. Sa bibliology kasi, merong supra-biblical, merong pang extra-biblical, merong sub-biblical. No? Kaya hindi ko lang kung saan tayo doon. Okay. So, we are clear on that. Verse 19. Now, before that, we go to that. And the gates of Hades. Sa Foursquare po ng araw, where I come from, classic Pentecostal, the old teaching was, naririto ka, you're a rock. No? A rock is supposed to be like Gibraltar, na hindi matitinag. So anuman yung atake, anuman yung assaults ng kaaway, you are there. The slings and arrows, wala. Nandito tayo. No? And then, nung napunta po ko sa seminary, na-expose ako sa, sabi ko, mas okay ito. Oo. Because dito, defensive ka lang. Sige, atakein ka, pero you know, oo. Parang si Muhammad Ali nung araw, sige, bumunta kayo sa akin. No? Oo. Hindi nyo na naabutan yun, pakiyo na kayo. Hindi nyo naabutan si Muhammad Ali. But the offensive is, or the offense is, we move, we go, we attack, we assault. In other words, hindi lamang tayo passive, rock, but the gates of Hades. In other words, these are the gates. You have the picture of the gladiators, you have the picture of those historical film, historical fiction films ng araw na dala-dala yung malalaking troso. No? Tapos fortress yan. No? Hanggang bumukas. And then, shoom! Nadudun na yung mga ano doon. Ano na, no? Oh. Ngayon, computer na lang yan eh. So mga kapatid, it could be that way, kasi it could actually be, hermeneutically speaking, it could actually be also interpreted na ganyan eh. Oh, but, mas gusto ko yung ganun. I believe that is more hermeneutically right. That the church, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is able to assault and take hold of territories, plant the banner of Jesus in those areas. Amen. And that banner would say victory. No? Di nyo nakuha yun. No? Victory jay lawag, apo. Oh. So, ako, I subscribe to the second. Because of the power that is involved. Oh. Hindi kasi masyadong ano eh. Hindi masyadong maganda yung ano kalay dyan. Passive ka. Ano. No, no, no. That is not the church. The church is dynamic. The church has the power. We are actually in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are fleshing out the statement, we are spirit empowered. Actually, we were born in power. Kaya nga, those supernatural manifestations that attended the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the church, 120 of them. Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, no? A wind, ano ba? Speaking in tongues, tongues of fire, you know, these are supernatural, no? Nangyayari pa ba yun? Are they still happening? Meron pa bang pag nababaptize ng Holy Spirit, mayroong fire? Oh. There was a story, this is in England, there was a story na yung isang Presbyterian church doon, isang Episcopalian church doon. The Church of England is the Episcopalian church here. At nasusunog. Oh. So sabi ng mga kapitbahay, this is the first time that the church is really on fire. Now we see a church that is really on fire. Oh, literally on fire. Azusa, 1906 to 1935, the revival there in Azusa that restored the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the church. So it is founded in Jesus. It is spirit empowered. So from the beginning, our heritage is power. Hallelujah. Our heritage is power. That's why if there is no power made manifest in the churches today, to me, it is not the real church. To me. Oh. I don't know kung madadaanan natin mamaya yung marks of the church, of the true church. Pero to me, that power is very, very important. Confirmation of the word by signs, wonders, and miracles. Because that is our heritage. That is our heritage. The new humanity, so founded in Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, the new humanity embodying the fullness of Christ, no more Jew or Greek or any other distinctions, but embracing all in this one new man. Narayan po yung mga verses, and we don't have the time to go into those now. Also called the new species in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, no? We are born again, all things are become new. Yung sa New Living Translation, all things become brand new. Actually, it comes from the word species. We are a new species. Now, in this particular verses that I have here as your reference, it speaks, the church is spoken of as one new man by the Apostle Paul, Colossians, as well as in Ephesians, you know. Colossians and Ephesians almost have the same theme. Oh, kaya pare-pareho halos yung mga phraseologies, no? Kasi isa yung author, but they are also speaking almost on the same theme. But this is something that is very essential for us to grasp, mga kapatid. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ today is no longer Jew nor Greek, no more female, no more male, no more Ilocano,
but Pangasinense, no? Oh, kasi taga Pangasinan ako. No more this, no more that, no more racial distinctions, no more background divides and all of that. We are one new man. We are a new species. One new humanity. Why? Because we have the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. This is the church. This is the church. Next week, we have two more weeks, you know. Next week is eschatology. We will be talking about Israel and the church, because this is part of it. Oh. Pagka naniniwala ka sa tinatawag na replacement theology, ang tawag po nila dito, this is the new Israel of God. Because replacement theology is a theology that says, yung Israel, because of their disobedience and sin and faithfulness, they were set aside already by God. And now, every promise that God gave to the old in the Old Testament to Israel is now being fulfilled in the church. That is the replacement theology. It has some errors. We will take that up next week when we go into this. Because yung view mo on Israel will be affected by your, is dependent upon your view of the second coming. If you're a dispensationalist like Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins, you know, anong kanilang sinulat, Left Behind. How many of you have read that? Left Behind, very popular, 60 million copies. Nakakaingit, no? Oh, Left Behind. I wanted to write a sequel, pero ayaw tanggapin ng publishing. So, ang title, Right Behind. No? Ayaw tanggapin. If you're a dispensationalist, you would love Israel. If you are a post-mill, there will be a question about the role of Israel in the end times. So we will see that next week. So, mga kapatid, what I'm trying to say right now is this. As far as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned, this is the apple of God's eyes. This is the focus. This is the highlight. This is the spotlight as of now. This is the focus of God. His eyes are attentive to you and to me now because we are the church. And it is through the church that all of these things will be fulfilled, will be restored. And it is a new humanity. One new person. Amen. That's why it is very important for us to be in koinonia fellowship with other members of the body. It is not just organizationally, it is a visible unity, but a unity maintained in the spirit, because that one new man can be experienced in the context of relationship, of fellowship, of koinonia in the whole church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? No matter your color, no matter the name, no matter chatra and the race, you know, it can only be experienced within that context of you and me being in relationship. Kaya nga, we are now brothers and sisters. We are now family because of this one new humanity. We have the fullness of God because of it. Number four, the visible image of the invisible Jesus Christ. God is invisible, and the Lord Jesus Christ came to reveal him. That's why Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. Now, if we continue the metaphor here, we have the Lord Jesus Christ now sitting at the right hand of the Father. He sits at the right hand of the Father, but he said before he went up, I will send, it is to your advantage, it is expedient that I go. Because if I will not go, then I cannot send the Holy Spirit to you. It is for your advantage that I go, because when I go, I will send you the Holy Spirit. Now, we saw last week that the Holy Spirit is actually representing the persona of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is actually Christ himself in the Spirit who has come into us. Amen. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ in body, in person, in flesh and blood, he was saying, I go up, but I will come back again. In the Old Testament, he cannot do that. It was an old economy. God's economy in Israel, because he can only dwell for particular periods of time in select people. He was with David, he was with Samson, he was with this guy who is very good in sculpture and in arts, etc. No? But he's not there permanently. He's not there for a long period of time. And it was not for everybody. It was only for select people. But when he inaugurated the new covenant, then lahat po tayo who received the Lord Jesus Christ received the Lord in the persona of the Holy Spirit. So we have in us, parang kumbaga, parang bumalik lang si Jesus sa atin. Pero iba na ng texture. But more powerful na siya. Why? Because wala na siyang limits eh. He's no longer limited by time. He's no longer limited by space. He can be with us and he can be with others in Nigeria, or he can be with Spratlys, in the Christians in Spratlys. No, kung meron man doon na church. O kung meron man doon, baka nag-split-split na, no? Oh, mga churches doon. Are you there, mga kapatid? This is the image of the invisible Jesus. Hindi nakikita ng mga tao ang Diyos. Came Jesus to reveal him to us. Hindi nakikita si Jesus, but the body, you and me, the body reveals Jesus to others. I remember when I was in Bible school, we were listening to Billy Graham. Yung mga videos, old videos na Billy Graham, pinapalabas namin sa dorm, no? And Billy Graham said, I remember this very well. Sabi niya, you are the fifth gospel. Your friends, your relatives, your people in your household may not know the four gospels. They may not know Matthew, Luke, Mark, John. But they see the fifth gospel all the time. You are the fifth gospel. We are the fifth gospel. We are the body. Kaya pagka nagkawatak-watak ang body, what are we showing to the world? What are we revealing to the world? Pagka nagkaganito ang body, and this is the picture of the body all over the world today. You know? Oh, nagkawatak-watak dahil sa relihiyon, nagkawatak-watak dahil sa politika, nagkawatak-watak dahil sa ano, no? Pero magkaisa tayo sa break. Okay. Kape.
Okay, 8 minutes break.